Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host for Spiritual Hollywood, and I just want to give a lot of gratitude over to Don Newsome at BBS and Seth for just the great work they're doing. The BBSRadio.com is just becoming a force to be reckoned with, if it wasn't already. And I just want to give thanks for having this platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood. And I'd like to let you know who I'm having as my guest this evening. It's I'm very excited about this person. His name is Peter Beamish, and he is a leader and visionary in his own right who is a director. And the projects that this person is directing are have really caught my eye. If, you know, being this is BBS Radio, I'm sure most of the listeners out there, if not all of them, have heard of Abraham, Esther, and Jerry Hicks. Peter Beamish got very interested in Abraham and went and did a documentary about them called Introducing Abraham, The Secret Behind the Secret, which is a fantastic DVD set that is, I watch it over and over, and I always hear something new each time I listen to it. And what I'll do is I'll give you a little bit of Peter's background, which is pretty entertaining, and I'm not surprised by it at all. Peter Beamish spent 20 years in broadcast and corporate television as everything from cable wrapper to mobile TV cameraman. He's been a producer, a director, writer, editor, and interviewer, often traveling the world to stage live events or shoot interviews. His last normal job was in the late 90s in a high-tech 2,000 employees, and he had the best job in the building, says Peter. A six-figure salary, a corporate Amex card, a fantastic boss, and his job took him to places like Hawaii, the Cayman Islands, Australia, Europe, and America, really. And he had a very sweet career going, and he knew it. But he eventually walked away from it all. Something was nagging at the back of his mind, and there was this other thing that he wanted to do, although he wasn't exactly sure what that other thing was. Then came the 1-2-3 knockout punch of Neo, Osho, and Abraham, his first three spiritual teachers, Peter explains. He stepped outside the theater after seeing The Matrix, and the world was somehow slightly tilted. It never did straighten out for him again. Then 60s mystic Osho rocked his world, and when Abraham first came through his iPod, it stopped him dead in his tracks, literally. He couldn't walk and listen at the same time. It was that powerful. And Peter simply walked away from his happy, secure 9-to-5 world and created Aura Productions, or more simply put, Aura.ca. So I know you're at your computers because this is internet radio, so go to www.aura.ca and check out Peter's website. Says he's now completely smitten by all things metaphysical. He's a kid again and a kid in the candy store. Aura.ca is producing a steady stream of cool video stuff. Their first DVD, Introducing Abraham, The Secret Behind the Secret, is a stunning piece of work, a trilogy of episodes. It literally has to be seen to be believed, and I can vouch for that. And they've done a DVD on Lee Carroll, channeler for Cryon, and being released this July through Hay House, I can't wait for this one, is Introducing Neil Donald Walsh, God's Latest Scribe. Aura.ca also produces the bi-monthly Law of Attraction in Action DVD series featuring highlighted Abraham Hicks Art of the Allowing workshops, and Aura.ca has another series aimed at teens called, in other words, Deeply Chilled Television. He used to say that he had the best job in the building, and now he says he's got the best job on the planet. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you Peter Beamish. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Kate.
Thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Oh, it is fun. So, did I leave anything out of your bio that comes to mind right off the bat that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, Super Dave. Do you remember the Super Dave Osborne show?
I do.
You do? Yeah,
yes.
I used to do that. I bring that one out. It usually impresses guys, and most women just kind of roll their eyes, sort of like the Three Stooges, you know?
Right.
Super Dave.
Right, right. Super Dave, definitely a cult hero. I know my son likes Super Dave.
Yeah, well, I did about 10 years of freelance cameraman, being a freelance cameraman in Toronto, Canada. So for those 10 years, almost every day was different. I shot, just all sorts of things. I used to shoot for Entertainment Tonight when they would come to Toronto, and really all sorts of different things. It was a fun career. It was it was very exciting. I worked for a sports network for a while and a few other places. And so, yeah, just 20 years of producing and directing and writing and editing and all that sort of fun.
You must have started when you were 10 years old.
Yeah, right. I graduated. I went to a school here, a university in Toronto called Ryerson, and they have a radio and television arts course, and I graduated that in 82.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So, okay, I have to tell you that when I saw Introducing Abraham, it just knocked me off my feet. And I just had to show it to everybody that I knew, because when I discovered Abraham, unlike, you know, well, not unlike many others who discovered Abraham, the wisdom was just so tangible that you could cut it with a knife, and it was, and still is, so amazing and simple, like, you know, everything is meant to be. And I wonder what was it that drew you to Abraham after Neo and Osho?
Well, you know, to even step back a tiny bit from that, the very first thing that caught my eye was actually Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God.
Right.
I grew up a Catholic, and his background was Catholic, and he was coming at that book, if you've read it, he's coming at it from a very Catholic point of view.
The Conversations with God?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've read it.
Yeah, and someone read me literally just a paragraph of it, and it was, you know, for years of going to Catholic grade school and high school, and, you know, every once in a while you'd ask the priests some metaphysical question, and they never really seemed to have an answer that made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And when Neil began asking these questions in the book, the answers were just so profound, it started me on the path, because then what I couldn't figure out is, well, what does this mean, he's conversing with God? And I wanted to get into the mechanics of it. Was did he feel like someone was moving his hand as he wrote, or was he hearing a voice in his head, or what was it? And so I just started, you know, then I heard about the phenomenon of channeling, and as soon as I did, the name Jerry and Esther Hicks came up. I heard there's this couple in Texas called, they're Jerry and Esther Hicks, and they channel Abraham, and it rang a bell for me. It just, it stuck with me, and for months after that, whenever I would meet someone, if I met you at a party or something, I would probably say to you at some point, have you ever heard of Abraham?
Yeah, I have. For the picture on my cell phone is the book cover, Asking It Is Given.
Right.
And it's been on there for 3 years.
Well, there you go. So I would just ask people about Abraham, and finally, somebody said to me, yes, I get these weekly CDs. Would you like to borrow one? And of course, as you were just talking about them, these are CDs, they're audio CDs. Jerry and Esther go and do workshops almost every weekend, all year round. They travel the United States. They're actually, right now, they're in Australia, finishing up a big, successful tour over there.
How did they get their monster bus over there?
Yeah, that they left behind for once. For once, Esther gets to relax and be chauffeured around. Yeah, they're in a big, as you could say, rock star monster bus, as
Esther
calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does most of the driving.
Yep,
and
I know about that too.
Yeah, so I got one of these CDs, and as I say, I put it in, and I decided I'd go for a walk in the woods and just see what this was all about. And it wasn't 3 minutes into it before I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I just couldn't believe the humor. First of all, that caught me off guard.
Yeah.
You know, and it just hit me. And so I checked their website, saw that they were going to be in Syracuse, New York. I live in Ottawa, Canada, and Syracuse is only about a three-hour drive. And I'm kind of getting around a bit on my story, because at that point, I had actually already done a pilot episode with Neil Donald Walsh. So when I went to see them in Syracuse, I just very quickly came up and introduced myself to Jerry, and I said I was a Canadian television producer, and I had just done this one on Neil, and would they be interested? And you know how these synchronistic things go. It turns out they had literally just met Neil for the first time just a week or two ago. They had gone to dinner at his home in Asheville. Ashland.
Yeah, Ashland, Oregon.
Ashland, Oregon. Yep. And had heard his full story, and so I gave them the DVD. They watched it, they loved it, and they invited me down to their ranch in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want me to continue with that?
Yes, please. Listen, I chased you down for I don't know how many months to get you on my show after seeing what you did with this Introduction to Abraham. Whatever led you to do it, it was completely divine intervention, and you were just following divine orders. I am certain of it. And I mean, this is a marvelous story, and I want our listeners to hear what's possible when you trust yourself.
Well, you're right.
I
definitely felt, to use Abraham's vernacular, I definitely felt tuned in, tapped in, and turned on when I videotaped it and when I edited it. Well, we went down to San Antonio, and they were just finishing building a conference center, beautiful wood structure that with big, floor-to-ceiling windows and room for an audience of about 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting when we went down, budget-wise, I could only afford at the time to bring my number one cameraman with me. So he was my main guy. He was going to set everything up. But the rest of the crew were all local Texans. A lot of these crews, they have the same sort of mentality as roadies at a rock concert. Like they're out there, they've seen it all, they've done it all. It's just the kind of person I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So this was just another day for them. It was just another interview, and we had set up two chairs facing one chair. It was going to be Jerry and Esther facing me.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was that I would interview Jerry and Esther in the morning, and we would mm-hmm. take a break for lunch, and when we came back, we'd talk to Abraham. So it was kind of funny. I had the chairs set up, and the audio man walks over to me and says, looks at the chairs and says, so typical two-on-one? And I was all excited, and I said, well, it is a two-on-one, but there's not going to be anything typical about this.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at me with sort of half-glazed eyes, and he says, you know how long I've been doing this?
Uh-huh.
I basically look at the meters and try not to fall asleep.
Right.
Well, let's just say that by the time we finished the morning interview
mm-hmm.
with everybody went their separate ways to go and have lunch, and when we came back, I was in my dressing room, I guess you'd call it, getting ready, and there's a knock on the door, and I open the door, and there's this audio man looking anything but bored. He looked extremely uncomfortable. And he said, he couldn't look me in the eye, and he said, I just want to know if you can tell me what to expect. I'm worried I might yell out suddenly and ruin the recording. So I had a little fun with him. I said, oh, audio-wise, it'll be fine. It's exact same voice level, no difference.
Mm-hmm.
He said, right, right. That's not what I mean. And anyway, so I told him how it was going to go, and I kind of calmed him down, and he left. And 2 minutes later, the foreman of the crew showed up,
mm-hmm.
and he said to me, I'm here on behalf of the rest of the crew,
mm-hmm.
and they'd like to know what's going on. So
mm-hmm.
essentially, if you can imagine, as I say, a roadie-type crew, just very used to all this, by the time it was time to do Abraham, these guys were at such attention, and they were listening so carefully. And in fact, when we finished the whole shoot, Asking It Is Given had, I think it had either just come out or was about to come out, and Jerry had a whole bunch of copies.
Mm-hmm.
And he went around and handed one to each member of the crew. And I tell you,
aww.
I'd love to talk to some of those people again. I've never seen them since, but
yeah.
The audio man for sure, and a couple of those other guys, it was life-changing for them.
Of course it was.
Especially,
course,
as I say, you have no idea what you're just coming in to do an interview. It could have been anything.
Right, and then God shows up. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
No, but it's like that. They don't know what to expect. They just know it's going to be, you can feel the frequency shift.
Oh, yeah.
In the room. And when you're around that kind of frequency, you can either sustain it or you can't. And, I've seen people get up and leave Jerry and Esther's workshops because they couldn't hold the frequency.
Right.
So,
well, and even just meeting Jerry and Esther, they're if you've met them, they're just the sweetest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They have
a granddaughter named Katie, like me.
That's right, they do.
Yep.
Who figures
yep.
into a lot of their stories.
Yep.
But I I kind of liken hanging out with Esther to hanging out with like a 12-year-old kid.
Yes.
Just full of fun. In fact, the first night we went to dinner, the night before we did the interview, we were, you know, having a great conversation at dinner, and finally Esther had to get up and go to the bathroom, and she stands up and she turns around and she says, "Nobody is allowed to talk about anything important until I get back."
Of course.
She was just so, as I say, she's just so full of life.
Yeah, she surely is. And the story of how they attracted Abraham is so incredible to me. Just how they did it, I know it all by heart. And as a matter of fact, Abraham is a really big part of my life. And I have my own knower name. I call it my knower, and I believe that Abraham is the knower of the biggest knower of all. Mine is called Marvin Masters. Mm. And I'm getting my master's degree. And so it's like when you're working with master entities like Abraham, they aren't just one entity. They are a group entity.
And in fact, I get the feeling, especially at the workshops, that, you know, they use the expression the inner being. You can, you know, there's a million different names for it. But I get the feeling that at these workshops, the inner beings of all the people that are there are also part of the group, because just about anyone will tell you that whether or not they got up and asked a question or not, whatever it was that they were wondering about, whatever questions they had, they got answered.
Yeah, so, it gets addressed. And you know, there's a collective consciousness too, Peter, that, you know, it's like every single person that comes to every workshop that Esther and Jerry do are pre-selected, are already known, and Abraham knows who's going to be there and knows what they need. And the way Esther chooses the person to bring up to the chair is she sees energy over their head.
Right.
And the way she pulls them from the audience is the energy over their head tells her which person has the question that will answer the most amount of people's questions.
Yes, yeah, the workshops are fascinating. They're just to get back to what you were saying about the story of how Jerry and Esther came to meet Abraham, it's interesting that when I was getting ready to do the video, the recording, I knew that I wanted to record or speak to Jerry and Esther first, and then Abraham. If you've, again, at many of these workshops, when Esther gets up, she quite often says as herself only two words. She walks up to the microphone and she says, "Hello, goodbye."
Goodbye.
And so when I talked to them about interviewing them, Esther in particular said, she said, "I always feel like the comedian that comes out on stage before the Rolling Stones. You know, I'm funny or whatever, but here's all this equipment behind me, and we all know what everybody's there for, so
right.
I try to get off stage as quickly as possible." But I convinced them that it was important for people to meet them first. And I mean, you've seen the DVD so many times, I'm sure you'd agree that there's something really key about meeting Jerry and Esther and getting to know them before you meet Abraham. You, first of all, you see the difference, but also you just get, I mean, there's obviously amazing wisdom from Abraham, but you know, there's a lot to be learned just from listening to Jerry and Esther, listening to how they met, how they got their lives to where they were. I mean, they are the living examples of the art of allowing.
Absolutely, and there is an art to allowing, and I've never seen any other person as ferociously curious as Jerry Hicks, except for myself, ever. And it's his ferocious curiosity that called forth Abraham out of Esther.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
it's a group, a team effort there, for sure.
Totally. And what partnership they have. They are complete role models for partnership. And they have the squabbles. I heard Jerry talking about a girl he was dating. She says, "We don't need to know about her. You don't need to talk about her." And she'll just be so childlike and jealous hearing him talk about this woman he knew so many years ago, and it's just adorable.
Yes.
Their dynamic together is adorable, and I'm quite clear, Peter, that you were chosen
well,
to do this.
Yeah, it certainly all worked out just wonderfully. I mean, you know, I could go on and on about how many things clicked, and it's funny, afterwards, of course, when you shoot these kind of interviews, then the thing you do is you come back and you start the process of editing. And depending on who you've interviewed and what you're trying to get done, it can be a fairly long and complex process. And so when I did the part with Jerry and Esther, there was the typical things that are involved in the editing, you know, sometimes getting rid of little blips here and there or misspeaks or smoothing things out.
Mm-hmm.
When I got around to doing the Abraham stuff, it literally just fell into place. It was like there's an expression in television that when someone's talking that they do what's called a throw to commercial, and it's something so everybody can tell, oh, we're getting ready to wrap up here and go to a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Abraham was doing these as I was asking questions. Their whole style changed. They have a different style when they're at a workshop in front of however many people. I just saw them a few months ago in Toronto. They were in front of 1,500 people.
Mm. And, I'm so grateful that so many people in the world get to a chance to get to know them.
Yes, and it's just beginning. You know, I tell people that when I met them, I literally felt like George Martin, where four scruffy guys came into the recording studio and he was supposed to record them, and of course it was the Beatles. And to me, it's very similar. When I was in Syracuse, when I first saw them in Syracuse, there were, I don't know, maybe 150 people in the audience, and I was astounded. I thought, oh my God, if the rest of the population of Syracuse knew who was here, it would be just packed to the rafters. But it again, about the art of allowing, they're just letting it unfold.
And they won't work with anybody that will hype them. They will not do it. And the reason that they're on the bestsellers list right now is because Hay House promised not to hype them. And
exactly. They're
now, and what's really great about them being on the bestsellers list, Peter, and I'm sure you know this, knowing Esther and Jerry, it's not about making lots of money. It's about getting the truth out.
Yes.
To as many people as possible. And if that, and honestly, that does require a certain amount of celebrity and being known to have the message get out like that. They're not about the messenger. They're about the message. The messenger just happens to be just wise beyond the wildest imaginings, funny, pithy, excellent timing, jaw-dropping, profound, and incredibly unique. And, you know, you can't hold that back. It's going to find its own place. And you're one of the vehicles to help that happen. And I just want you to really get that about you.
Well, thank you. You know, it's funny, as you say, Jerry tells the story quite often about how things kind of exploded. They were just doing their thing year after year for almost 20 years. And then they decided that it was time for it to open up a little bit. And Jerry would start to tell people, I'm ready for this to be opened up more. And people would say, well, what's your plan? And he says, mm-hmm. I don't have a plan. I'm ready. Once he sort of made that statement to the universe, within the space of, I think within 6 months, almost every major sort of new age self-help person you can think of, from Neil Donald Walsh, Wayne Dyer,
mm-hmm.
Louise Hay,
mm-hmm.
myself,
mm-hmm.
everybody just sort of started showing up in their reality, and things just fell together. And that's the way Jerry and Esther work. They just let it flow. I mean, they're living examples of this whole allowing process.
Well, aren't you too, though, Peter?
I'm working at it. Abraham uses the expression "let go of the oars," as in, you know, if we think of the way our lives go as almost you know, flowing down a stream, and so many of us are rowing madly to some particular destination, and so they use this analogy of, if you just let go of the oars, this whole stream of life will take you where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I have to regularly remind myself to let go of the oars, but
you know, I have a funny story to share with you. I heard at Agape on Sunday, and it has a lot to do with oars and a rowboat.
Okay.
There were these two guys who lived in a country where smoking hashish was really common, and they partook of it this particular night, and it was very, 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 very foggy. You couldn't see 2 feet in front of you. And they thought, well, you know, God will send us where it is that we're meant to go. So they found their way down to a rowboat and got in it, and each of them grabbed an oar, and they're rowing and rowing and rowing, and just sweat's pouring off them, and they're in the fog, and they keep rowing, and they keep rowing, and they don't even care where they're going. They just know that wherever God is leading them is where they're meant to go. So they're rowing, and they're rowing, and they're rowing so hard, and sweating, and exhausted, but they keep rowing. And as the hours passed, and it became morning, and the fog lifted, they realized that their boat was still tied to the dock. And so they were just still moored to the dock, but they didn't know it because they couldn't see, which is an analogy for awareness and being awake. But the fog was so thick they couldn't see, and they just kept rowing and rowing and rowing, wearing themselves out, and they were still moored to the dock. So there's a lot of people who are living their life that way, and they don't know it. And to be introduced to Abraham in such a way that you've done it with introducing Abraham, the secret behind the secret, just suddenly just blows the fog away. It takes away the dark switch that people have been using and replaces it with the light switch.
Well, you know, it was very important to me that the word introducing was part of that. We can talk later about why it was called The Secret Behind the Secret, but in the same way with Neil Donald Walsh, I wanted it to be something that someone could hand to someone else and say, here, just have a look at this with no explanation, no need to know any fancy words at all, and I was very intent on asking questions. In fact, it took me quite a while to come up with my first question for Abraham. I went up to, my brother has a very secluded cottage in Quebec in Canada, and I go up there when it's time to write my questions or, you know, get ready. I mean, there's some questions, I'm sure it's similar to you, Kate, that you have a set of questions and then you're ready to deviate from them, but you have certain ones you want to hit on. And
I want to hit on the ones that collective consciousness wants to know.
Right, right. So I went out for a walk, and I was trying to think of, well, what is the if when I do this, Abraham shows up and says hello, what is the first thing that someone that Joe Q Public would want to know? And then it hit me one day, and that was, how can we believe this? How can we believe? I think that's my first question. How do you expect us to believe? I wasn't saying it in a belligerent way. I was sort of more, help me with this. How is it that someone can close their eyes, breathe a few times, and now there's someone else here with us? And then the line of questioning just went from there. I asked them why the name Abraham. We went through all the basics and all the other questions, as you know, and it's a nice, complete introduction. In fact, Louise Hay called me after it was still in its demo form, but I had sent it to her, and she called me and said, you know, I got your DVD, and it just so happened that when I went to watch it, I had a friend over who did not know Abraham. And so I was also watching it through his eyes, and she said, all I kept saying to myself as I watched this is, what a wonderful way to be introduced to Abraham.
Yeah. And I got to tell you something you may not realize, Peter, and maybe you've heard it before, but I just want to be the one to tell you in case you haven't. Watching your face while you're interviewing Abraham was almost the most fun of all for me, because you were like a little child talking to God.
Right, right.
And it was beautiful, and it was captured, and you can't fake that, and you can't phone that in, and you were so vulnerable. And I found myself wondering how you chose the shirt you were wearing. And it was perfect. It was a beautiful shirt. But
yes,
I found myself wondering, how do you prepare? How do you choose the shirt to wear for Abraham?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That was a great shirt.
Totally great shirt.
It was actually the whole thing was very surreal. When we came to San Antonio, the day we arrived, there was an incredible rainstorm. I mean, we had a rented car, and the water poured in over the floorboards. It was just, it seemed very, I don't know, it seemed, I don't know what that word, very profound anyway, that it started that way. And I also want to tell you about, if I can, about showing that DVD for the first time.
In the theater with 300 people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was called an introduction, and I thought, okay, once it's out there, I have no control over who sees this, so I would really like to just get, and I invited, all my colleagues from when I had been in high tech and all of my friends, and we invited the press, and we got this old high school gym and had a big screen there. It's shot in a widescreen, high definition, and Scott, my director of photography, did such a wonderful job. It's a very, very pretty interview.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these people showed up, and the invitation that I sent gave no indication at all as to what exactly they were going to see. And in fact, many people told me that if anything, they were expecting comedy, because that was sort of what I'd been specializing in for the last bunch of years.
Right. And Dave. Super Dave.
That's right. So the DVD is broken into three parts. The first part is Jerry and Esther, then you meet Abraham, and then we get into the heavy stuff. So we took intermission breaks between each one, and if people are interested and they go to aura.ca, there are some, it's called spring screening, and you can literally watch, there may be 2 or 3 minutes worth of interviews between each break. So the first you meet these people and they don't know what's coming, and then after the first break they've met Jerry and Esther, and you know, some people were going, well, I don't know, I'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the second and third one, the reactions from people were was just astounding. It was just
right.
Wonderful.
Right, and I saw all those interviews, and people were crying. One woman was just, she goes,
oh, yeah.
This just moved to tears, and she's like, whoa, she couldn't stop.
Yes.
And I understand that feeling. It's when you're in the presence of pure wisdom and pure truth, it doesn't matter if a flying saucer pulls up next to you and, you know, a little green man walks out and then blurts out this wisdom and truth. It doesn't matter where it comes from. All of us know truth when we hear it.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have a very accurate, calibrated truth meter. And my truth meter, when it goes off, I cry.
Right.
And I know lots of people do.
Well,
and
I couldn't do that when I was doing the interview. I had to hold it together.
No, but you were fighting it. I could see. And you kept it together really beautifully. And if I was ever going to be interviewed, I would want it to be the way you do it.
Well,
I mean,
my style is to really give people what I told someone is, I'm asking people to explain themselves, not defend themselves.
Absolutely. You're bringing out their greatness. You're honoring them. You're giving them a chance to unfold and blossom right before the eyes of the public.
Right.
That's a beautiful way to do it.
Right. And we had done, just to maybe step back for a second, how this all started, or the first interview happened when, again, with budget concerns, it was just kind of gearing up to it, and I saw in a local New Age paper that Lee Carroll was going to be coming to Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
And I was just getting into this stuff, so I didn't really know that much about him. It was just someone else had recommended it. So I contacted him and asked him if he would be interested in doing an interview. And when he said yes, which almost surprised me, I then had to kind of email back, and I used to work in marketing, and I'm nothing wrong with marketing, but we do have ways of, not going to say bending the truth, but you know what I'm saying. You
mm-hmm.
can do that.
I was flattering the truth.
Yes, and I was determined to be as straightforward as I could. So when Lee said yes to the interview, then I emailed him back and I said, okay, I have to tell you, I don't actually know that much about you. And I know the interview is only a week away, and I know you've got 7 or 8 books out. Is there one in particular you'd want me to read really quickly, or do a crash course or whatever? And he was so nice. He just said, no, you know, if you want, check out the website a little bit, and just so you don't, you know the basic stuff. And when we sat down to do the interview, to give you an idea of how great Lee Carroll is, he's one of the nicest men I have ever met.
Okay, what's his website?
Cryon.com, Cryon.com.
Great.
And Cryon is, Lee is an engineer, and Cryon mm-hmm. comes at spirituality from a more mechanic, he looks into DNA, and my little tagline would be Cryon, the way things work.
Ah.
And but anyway, with Lee, I started my interview with Lee, and I was nervous, and it was one of the first times I'd been doing that kind of thing. And when the first time we stopped to to change tapes, Lee leaned forward and put his hand on my knee and said, "How's it going, Peter? Are you getting what you need? Is this working out for you?" Just such a gentle man.
Wow.
And when we finished the Cryon one, see, my plan was to make a pilot for a television series. My background is television, and you've seen these shows that there are these black, we dip to black, and that was specifically designed for commercial breaks.
Right.
That's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the first one done, but then all of a sudden I hear that Neil Donald Walsh is coming to Montreal, and Montreal is only a couple of hours from Ottawa.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I can't pass that one up.
Yeah.
And
you got a really good knower, I got to tell you.
Got a really good what?
A really good knower.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, your knower really works well because,
look,
it's batting 1,000.
So we went down to Montreal, and we interviewed Neil, and he was amazing. He was, that's an interview you're going to enjoy because...
Oh, I will. I've met him. I've spoken to him and went to his premiere, to his movie and everything.
Right.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. And it was interesting. He was in Montreal to do a speech at a big cathedral in the
mm-hmm.
evening. We interviewed him in the morning, and then in the evening was this event. And we went to it as well. And Neil came out and did his thing for an hour or so, and then there was an intermission. And when he came back, he addressed the crowd. He couldn't see us. It was a big place. But here's what he said. He said, "I spent the afternoon with a couple of TV producers who are in the audience tonight." And then he looked out at us and he said, "I have a message for you. Keep doing what you're doing. Stick with it. This is big. You may not think it's big. You may think it's a small thing or that you can't make it happen. But know this, it is big. Don't let anything stop you. Even when you think it's not going to go, stick with it. This is big."
Yep.
And it was so great. I mean, because there's been stumbling blocks along the way with budget and various things, and you know how it is. And having things like that sort of in your back pocket to bolster you, it's really great. And as I say, the interview with Neil is what opened the door for Jerry Nestor to do it. And and of course now I'm so lucky. Here I am. From there, the first thing Jerry said to me was he had a series of he literally has recorded almost every single word Abraham has ever uttered in the 20 some odd years.
And I believe it.
So
I believe
he had
it.
From the late 80s, he had these audio cassette recordings, so it wasn't digital, it was not a professional machine, and also mm-hmm. Esther in the early days, if you've ever heard some of her...
she didn't really have her voice yet.
Yes, she would be up and down, and sometimes literally almost yelling. And so these were... So Jerry said, we want to release these with Hay House, but we need them cleaned up. So we spent months doing these little technical things to get the sound as good as possible,
mm-hmm.
and then we scored it with some music just to kind of also cover the bumps, and that's come out from Hay. That's actually begun to be, well, it has been released by Hay House as a series of CDs, and it's now coming out as books. The most recent one is Money and the Law of Attraction, which was the New York Times bestseller, number one.
Yes, I'm very, very happy to see that.
Yeah, and from there, they asked... Jerry said to me, "I'm thinking with all of these DVD, with all of these workshops, that I'd like to start releasing sort of the highlight ones on DVD," and that became what is now called the Law of Attraction in Action.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out every 2 months through Hay House, and they are sort of the best of, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Workshops. And it's funny; just a little while ago, you were talking about how you enjoyed seeing my reactions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, I mean, I love getting the workshops on audio, and they're so convenient. You can put them in your car, and you can put them in the iPod, and
yep.
it's really great.
I do it all the time.
But I'll tell you, these workshops on DVD, you get the added punch of watching people get it.
Yeah, their reaction.
You know, there's some people that come on there, and they're just very upset or very resistant, and you can just see the tension leave their face, and
mm-hmm.
and it's just a wonderful thing to watch. And so Every workshop gets recorded. Mike and Karen Sherlock, a husband and wife team, travel with Jerry and Esther.
I know them. He wears a hat. Who's the one who wears a hat? He looks like an angel.
No, I think that's a different couple that sit in the front. Mike and Karen, they're actually doing the camera work.
Oh, I see. No, it's not them then.
Right.
Okay. And it's an older couple I'm thinking of.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they record every episode. They do it, first of all, so that people can see the hot seat through a screen and all that, but they record them all. So there is so much Abraham material that if they stopped tomorrow, there'd still be so much to get through. And yet, here they are every week just doing workshop after workshop.
Generating, yeah.
It's just
well,
amazing.
You know, the world is constantly changing, and the message is that Abraham gives to every single person, you can ask the same question. Every person can ask the same question in a row, and Abraham will give a different answer because every person has a different experience with different filters from which to see the world. So Abraham speaks to them particularly for their own filters. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. You know, people say to me sometimes, because they hear about people that have been going to workshops, and or for example, if you're a subscriber to their CD program, you can get the audio CDs either once every 2 weeks or once a month, and it used to be every week. And there are people that have been on this subscription program for years. And
mm-hmm.
At first I thought, just kind of thought to myself, isn't there a point where you kind of get it? But I liken it now more to like a rock band or music band, and that is when you go to see, if you've got a favorite band, yes, they're maybe doing some of the same songs again, but every time it's just a little bit different, it's interpreted a little different, and you love to hear it over and over. And that's how I find with Abraham, as you say, somebody might ask a question about weight loss, and you're thinking,
right,
I've heard Abraham answer weight loss questions 50 times.
But not to that person.
But not to that person, and not quite, and it's not only that, it's where you're at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that I find interesting. Is it can be a question like weight? If we use weight for an example, I don't have any weight. I'm a skinny guy. So,
but you look good in that shirt.
Thank you. Yeah, the shirt did it. But what I'm saying is, here comes somebody and they sit down and they start to ask a question. And at first blush, you say, "Well, this question has no application to me whatsoever." And yet, when you listen, there is so much for everyone. In the answers, because they're multi-leveled.
They're rich, rich, and dense with wisdom. And it's like you just digest it for the rest of your life, even if you go to one workshop. And I've been to a few of them, and it's never the same experience. And what I really get a kick out of, Peter, is the first one I went to, there were 150 people maybe.
Right.
Second one I went to, there were at least 500. Third one I went to, gosh, there was probably 1,000. And tickets are hard to get. And you can just watch the growth, and the fact that they're on the bestseller list, and the fact that the DVDs are out there that you're producing, and Hay House is now picked up, and you're all working in tandem together to get this great, wonderful information out into the world. It's legendary for our time.
Yeah,
legendary, and you're a part of that.
Yes, I'm excited about it. And you know, every workshop, at the end of the workshop, Jerry says, how many people are, or I don't know if it's at the end of the workshop, but he says, how many people are here? Is this their first workshop? And every time, at least 50%, if not more, people put up their hands saying it's the first time. So
mm-hmm.
It's just growing and growing and growing, and it's
And Esther and Jerry are just like plain folks.
None
of this has gone to their head. Their ego is, you know, they're just regular people.
Well, it's far from going to their head. I mean, whenever they do screw up in any way, they know that Abraham's going to use the story. There's all, you know, I mean, as soon as we hear Abraham start off by saying, Jerry and Esther were whatever, you know you're going to hear this story. And, you know, Jerry has said that they get two kinds of letters about that. One is saying, you know, it's so comforting to know that even you guys, you know, do have your bumps in the road.
Yeah.
And then the other kind of questions come in and they say, oh my God, you've been doing it for 20 years and still you haven't got it perfect. What chance is there for us? So it just shows you that, you know, no matter what, it's just the way life goes, you know?
Absolutely, and I know that Esther is very persnickety about the monster bus, and when Jerry moves something, that she knows exactly where it is and wants it to always be put back in that spot, and if he moves it, oh boy, hell has no fury like that. It's she really, and I heard Abraham go on about that, and what was Esther really feeling about that whole thing, and it wasn't even about the batteries that he moved, it was about the mood she was in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just wonderful. It's so wonderful, and I'm really grateful that you're doing what you're doing out in the world. And Spiritual Hollywood is the perfect radio show for you.
Yes,
and I'm glad
is.
You said yes to be my guest, because I don't know if you remember, but the first three times I asked you, you said no.
I did. To use Abraham's expression, I was experiencing some contrast those days, and I just wasn't quite ready to do it. But I'm. You know what? 2009 is on its way. There's more. We've got so many more things coming up. And the audience for this material just continues to grow. YouTube is getting to be a really exciting place. I mean, now, for example, with Abraham, you can just tell anyone, well, just type in Abraham Hicks on YouTube, and you can see, just some phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. YouTube is a wonderful tool.
Yes, it is.
Yes, and do you have any of Neil Donald Walsh's interview on YouTube yet?
Not yet. You know, I literally today I got the master a couple of days ago, and today was my final check to make sure that it was all set to go, which it is, and it goes off to the duplicator, but the way the publishing industry works, it actually doesn't come out till the 1st of July.
Oh, but, boy.
Yeah, I know. It's
a long time.
Yeah.
I have a quick story about Neil Donald Walsh. I just simply called him one day and said, can I interview you for a book I'm writing for actors? And he said, sure. And he goes, what's the name of it? I said, The End of the Anonymous Actor. He said, what's the subtitle? And I said, I don't know. What is a subtitle title? He goes, how about Changing Your Life Story Forever? And I said, okay, so it's End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever. He goes, perfect. And I interviewed him for an hour on the phone about how to apply the concepts that he is bringing forth in his work to the entertainment industry. And it's just a fantastic interview, and it just took on a life of its own. And Neil Donald Walsh is such an important person in my life. I read his book at a dog park. Every day after work, I would walk up to this dog park and lay under a tree and read it until I was done. The minute I finished it, I stood up and I shouted to the universe, this has to be a movie! And when I went to the premiere of Neil Donald Walsh's movie and told him I did that, he said, you're not the only one.
Right.
And that's the way it works.
Yes.
That's what's natural, is things like that. The same thing happened with Celestine Prophecy.
Right.
Have you ever thought of interviewing James Redfield?
It hasn't come onto my radar just yet. I've got two or three people lined up in my head, and
Are you able to talk about it?
Just before I do, I just wanted to come back to what you were saying about actors for a second, especially
yes.
since it's Spiritual Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And there's a question on the very first Law of Attraction in Action DVD. It was done in L.A., and it was a room full of actors pretty well. And for those people that are listening or whatever that are actors, this guy got up and asked a really interesting question, because he was so much he understood the power of thought and power of emotion. And his question was about, if I'm playing all of these dark people, if I'm playing a murderer or a rapist or just a lot of nasty people.
Pedophile, yeah, something
yeah,
bad.
Can that come back, you know, I'm putting that out, and can that come back and affect my life? And so Abraham gave this really great, long, eloquent answer that I think for people that are acting, it not only reassures them about that, but it gave them techniques and things to do to help even improve on that, if you will. So that's just kind of
that's a great question. That's a fantastic question. I would actually love to interview Esther and Jerry for The End of the Anonymous Actor, because I'm having leaders and visionaries put their input, and also yourself, Peter, as a director, somebody who wants to make a difference in the world, which if you didn't do another thing in the rest of your life, you've already made an amazing impact on the world. Just to have your voice there, because what I want to do in the entertainment industry is impact it, to raise consciousness, to help people to remember who they are and why they're here, and to create a safe place for people to really allow themselves to get back to the true nature and to stop using personality versus character. Because when you're using your personality, you're wearing a mask. When you're using your character, you're gleaning wisdom from every event that happens in your life, no matter how painful it is.
Right.
And
right.
Persona versus character is a real important message. And, you know, most of us, well, we have job security. Lots of us are still living from persona and not character. And it's if everybody knew a better way, they would certainly choose it. It's just they don't know that they don't know. And I want to create for the world through the entertainment industry a knowing of what their birthright is, and that is everything that Abraham is talking about. And that is everything that where you are from where you come. You are your maker. You are God expression. God is expressing through you, or creator, or higher power, whatever you want to call that source energy, is creating through you. That's what you are here for, to be a vessel of that creation. And I want the world to know that. And I'm so excited to know that you're on the planet doing what you're doing, and that Esther and Jerry are out there doing what they're doing, and that every single person listening who wants to make a difference, and you've got that thing nagging at the back of your mind like Peter did, listen to it. Let it lead you. There is an art to allowing yourself to blossom and to be who you came here to be. You are allowed to be. It's your obligation. Happiness, the pursuit of happiness is even in the Constitution, that it's you have a right to pursue happiness, and not only a right, but it is your obligation, and the greatest gift you can give the world is your happiness. It's a frequency that adds to the frequency, and if you're not adding happiness to the frequency, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the pollution, to say Acadianism. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You know what you were talking about interviewing Jerry and Esther. You could also Jerry has been an actor himself. In fact, there's some really old black and white TV show that he plays a cowboy in. In fact, Mike, the cameraman, told me that of all these years of doing the workshops, that he has jotted down whenever Abraham has mentioned a job or a career that Jerry has had, he's written it down, and he said he's up over 40 different careers.
Wow.
He himself has just an amazing, amazing life story.
Oh,
but
I know, and
He
Could
well.
Grow Rich was a catalyst to get him where he is.
That's right. Just
yep.
Pick that book up and
you read it.
That's the thing. He was independently wealthy long before he met Esther. And
yep.
I mean, as you say, the books are coming out now, and it's all doing very well. But he was there even before that, just from following.
Right, and the way he and Esther got together, it's like, you know, just like bonked on the head. Oh, okay, you're the one. Well, that's the kind of relationship I have, and it happened just like that. You know, I thought I met the brother of my dreams, a soul brother, nothing more than platonic friendship, and we're getting married at Agape by Reverend Michael Beckwith in March of 2009. So, you know, I'm marrying my best friend, like Esther did. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, it is very great, and it's possible for all of us, and you're a living testament that you can have, do, and be anything you choose. And you used to say that you had the best job in the building, now you've got the best job on the planet. Well, you just very well may have to get to work with Abraham, Esther, and Jerry all the time, and Neil Donald Walsh, and other leaders and visionaries, and I know how good that feels.
Oh, yeah.
And I just really am excited for whatever it is that you touch, that you are led to investigate, explore, and to follow your heart. I mean, I can tell that, like I said, you've got a really great knower, and that's
yes.
your higher self. It really does speak clearly to you, and the best part is that you listen and you act on it.
Well, that's true. I do my best to listen and act on it, and the next thing along those lines that I'm really excited about is this show that I'm calling In Other Words. It's an expression Abraham uses a lot there. They'll be talking and they'll say In Other Words.
Chilled television?
Yeah, and it's in my mind, it's aimed at, I mean, it'll be for everyone, but it's aimed at teenagers and people carrying their video iPods around, because it's got a visual aspect to it, and it's I'm trying to use really new, well, not new, but just really great music beds. If people want and they go to aura.ca they can go to the website and they'll find themselves on YouTube and they can see some of the early episodes we've put on. Plus, I put on a sneak preview on the Secret Behind the Secret. It was called The Meaning of Life. I don't know if you remember that one. It's a little girl kind of spinning around and around.
Yes, I do. Very well. Yes, very. It was very, very moving. And we're coming up on the last minute of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I told you this would race by like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we were just getting warmed up.
And the thing is that this has been one of the best shows I think I've done. And
well, it's been fun.
Yeah, and it's just amazing what you're doing and all the great things. It's a wonderful time to be alive.
It
and
is.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, Peter. And thank you for the work you're doing. And just remember, everybody, the last six letters of attraction are action. And just do what Peter did. Get out there and do what's nagging at the back of your mind and make a difference in the world and for yourself and live the life you came here to live. Thank you, everyone. Good night, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.